We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
I'm so thankful for what God is doing in Lebanon. You saw that? But it said on that page, instantly healed by Jesus. Did you see that? Our Jesus is doing that. And I'm going to bring to the stage Matt and Julie Hadabaugh. Can we give them a hand? They're a part of this ministry team. They're with us today. They hail from Tulsa, Oklahoma, but for the last 9 months, they've been living in Beirut, Lebanon, and they've got so much to share with us, and it's very exciting. We always want to change the world for Jesus, right? Is that what we want to do? Facebook Live, you want to change the world for Jesus? Podcasters, you want to change the world for Jesus? Well, this is how you do it. And we're going to join with them, and we're really excited about what God's doing. We want to help send them, keep them, and open up doors through offerings in Lebanon. That's what we want to do. We want to hear from them today. But could you stand on your feet and give them a hand clap of honor for how they're serving the Lord and their bravery? We're so honored to have you with us. So they're going to tell us about Lebanon, and then Matt's going to preach to you. Are y'all going to preach with him today? Yeah. And then before today's over, we're going to fill this altar, and we're going to pray for Lebanon. And are we going to pray that God would just turn our world upside down with revival? Yeah, that's what we're going to do. All right.
Good morning, Redemption Church. How are you? Or afternoon. It's not morning. I don't know. It's just the programming, I guess. It's so good to be here with you. Thank you so much for welcoming us, inviting us to be here with you today. It's a great honor to come and share what God's doing in Lebanon with the body of Christ. And knowing we're all one, whether we're here or whether we're there, wherever we are, we're all impacting and making a difference in the world for Jesus. So that video, every time I watch it, it makes me cry. So if my makeup's running, I apologize. But it's so good to see you this morning. We're so happy to be here with you. I hope that I have the opportunity to shake everyone's hand and hug your neck and learn your name, and I'll do my best to remember it. But I'm going to give it to Matt because I know he has a great word for you. So enjoy. Praise the Lord.
Thanks, babe. So those clips in that video, that's an edited version of a video that we did for a church that sent a team. Six people came over last November, and we took them. We live in Beirut. But that's actually right at the Syrian border. The mountain in the background is Syria. I tell people, if you look up at the sky, you can see the dotted line from Google Maps, which is a joke, of course, until I saw this guy. Like, I said, no, no, man, I'm sorry. It's my humor. So anyway, but that's right at the Syrian border. The building we were in that video was built as a church. It was an American denomination that came over, and they built the building, and then a civil war broke out. And for 25 years, Lebanon was just ravaged by war. But thank God, in 1995, there was peace installed, and we lived there, and it's the Middle East, but it's supernaturally peaceful. And I say it that way on purpose because, you know, the Bible says that we're to pray for all men that we would live a quiet and peaceable life. Why? So that the gospel can go forth. And Lebanon is this amazing jewel of a place. Right in the heart of the Arab world, it's less than a day's trip from 500 million people, 85% of whom have never even met a born-again Christian. And it's the only place where it is both free to preach in Jesus' name and free to convert from any other religion, maybe that starts with an I, since we're on Facebook Live, or you can also come and get trained in Lebanon to be a Christian minister. And that's really our vision. Those video clips were from an outreach we did there in that closed church building. And we were able to get 100 families together and relaunch that church. Wow. Last year, we saw two churches launched like that. And it's just the most exciting thing for us, because Lebanon doesn't need another church. They need like 500 new churches. Today, Lebanon is home to 5 million people. In 2014, Lebanon was home to 3 million people. How does a population go from 3 million to 5 million? ISIS in Syria. So ISIS drove people from their homes. And a lot of those people, 2 million of them, came into Lebanon. And that crushed the country. It broke the infrastructure. It broke down basic services. It drove real estate prices through the roof. Lebanese people were fired from their jobs, and Syrians were hired for less wages. Lots of problems. But there's an opportunity. Because I can't, right now, we can't go into Syria. I mean, we could, we just couldn't come back out. Or at least we couldn't walk back out. But in Lebanon today, there's about 1.5 million Syrians who Islam made them leave their home. And those people love to hear what we were singing about this morning. That God is good. Amen. That God is love. And that God didn't make hell to punish us or them. But God sent Jesus to make a way for us to escape hell and join a family. And the other reason I love showing that video, and I honestly didn't know that I had that on the drive, and I was so glad it was there, because I was using this for something else. Julie actually just found this morning before we left. I love that because you see all those kids with their hands raised. That was the second time they raised their hands. See, we invited this American team to come help us, and so I had their children's pastor, sharing. So he gave the invitation. All these children go, yes. He said, no, you don't understand what I'm asking. So he preached a whole second sermon and gave the invitation again. So that video, that's actually the second time they're raising their hands. The reason I say that is, what we experience is people don't say no to the good news of Jesus there. And why is that? It's because it's the season of harvest. It's harvest time. You know, I think about that verse in Matthew chapter 9 where it says, Jesus, he's ministering to the multitudes, teaching, preaching, and healing every manner of sickness, every manner of disease among the people. And that's what we saw there in that video. That little boy that was sitting on the stage, I was behind him, unfortunately. He was 4. He'd never spoken. He couldn't hear. First word that little Muslim boy said to his Muslim mother was Jesus. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus was ministering and seeing all these things, the Bible says that he looked up and he was moved with compassion because the harvest was great. So he said, let's pray for laborers to go into the harvest. Because when it's harvest time, it's time to do one thing, and that's go bring them in. I want to look into the Word of God with you today. Let's start in John chapter 1. The first chapter of John. These are significant times that we're living in. Often I think that we will live our life and days and weeks turn into years, and we don't realize the significance of the time that we occupy. And the reason maybe is many. That's probably bad English. Need an interpreter to clean that up for me. The reason we don't see that, there's probably several, but one that I want to focus on today is I believe it's important for me to find myself in God's Word. To have my identity in God's Word, because if I know who I am according to the Word of God, then I can respond to opportunities that come my way according to the Word of God. Look at John chapter 1, verse 19. John chapter 1, verse 19 says, this was John, and we know this is John the Baptist. This was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, who are you? Life will present us with that challenge. Who are you? And if my identity is not based on the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, then I can't answer this question. How did John answer this question? Look at verse 23. John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah. John didn't say, I have done this. When he was asked, who are you? He didn't say, well, I'm John. You probably know me as John the Baptist. I've got this pretty big ministry happening outside of town. We're getting a lot of people wet. It's really awesome. Plus, I have this just kicking coat. Have you seen this? It's a Bible school joke. Sorry. No, he didn't reply with what he had done to answer who he was. Now, I make that point because I'll tell you, that's the easiest answer. I meet people. We're in the position where we meet new people all the time. And especially in the West, the answer to who you are is, well, I'm an engineer. Well, I work for American Airlines. Well, I'm a biochemist. Well, I'm a student. I'm a writer. I do this. When we ask, especially in Western society a lot, when we ask who you are, we answer with who I be. It's interesting, we're learning Arabic, and that be tense is actually not in Arabic, which is interesting. There's a lot of things that are in Arabic that are not interesting, but I'll spare you the language class. When they asked John, who are you? The Bible says that he answered in the words of Isaiah. He said, I'm a voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord's coming. Before John was faced with the question, who are you? He had found himself in the Scripture. John's not the only example. His cousin, Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, said that he returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And when he had come to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, the Bible says he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he took the book of Isaiah and found in the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. And everyone in the synagogue, they all know him. That's Mary and Joseph's boy. Look at that boy. He's reading good today. The Bible says they all marveled at his words. Until he said this. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Things went south after that. Right? The Bible says they tried to throw him off the brow of a hill. We've been in some kind of meetings that didn't go so well, but I've never been, like, there's never been an attempted murder. It was interesting, at this launch, when we were doing the series of meetings, there was a militia that tried to shut the meeting down. And they sent some people to disrupt the meeting. The problem is, two of them got saved. And the only reason we know... The only reason we know that they came to cause a problem was after the service, they got into a fight. Probably because two of them got saved.
Thank you, Lord.
But Jesus, his identity was in the Scripture. For Julie and I, Romans chapter 15, you can turn over there. Romans chapter 15, verse 19 and 20. Is where we see ourselves. Paul, writing to Rome, he was talking about his travel plans, and he was saying, I'd wanted to come to you before, but wasn't able to. In verse 19, he said, I can now, because I have fully preached the gospel all around here, all the way to Illyricum. Verse 20. He said, it's always been my ambition, my aim, my goal to preach Christ where he has not been named before, so that I don't build on another man's foundation. And for us, that's what we see. That's our ambition. That's our aim. That's our goal, to preach Christ where he is not known. Jesus, at the end of his earthly ministry, risen from the dead in glory and authority, in Mark chapter 16 said, go. He said go, and he gave that instruction to all who believed. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says, you're going to receive power from the Holy Ghost. Why? So that in your living room, while watching television, you can say, whew, man, glory to God, I'm full of power. No, it says you'll receive power to be a witness in Jerusalem, where you live, in Judea, where Jerusalem is, in Samaria, which is the very next place, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's always uncomfortable when the missionary reads the Great Commission and talks about the uttermost parts of the earth, right? Okay. Now, I'm not going to... We don't have airline tickets for anybody. We're not... Very few people are called to go across a culture, to minister in a different culture. But we're all called to the Great Commission. Now, I don't understand that. You say that we're all called to the Great Commission, but very few are called to minister cross-culturally. How do I reconcile that? This is where the point of what I want to share with you today is. Ephesians chapter 3, if you would turn there, the third chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians, written by Paul to the church where he invested an incredible amount of time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul said, I've decided to stay at Ephesus, and I'm going to stay here And he said, because, in verse 9, there's a great door of opportunity that's open. There's a great door of opportunity that's open, and everyone is on my side. No. He said, there's a great door of opportunity, and there are many that stand against me. You know, in another place, Paul said, I fought wild beasts at Ephesus. Paul was drugged through the streets at Ephesus. But Paul, he stayed in Ephesus, and we know in Acts chapter 19, he went to Ephesus, and he stayed there for 2 years. 3 months he taught in a synagogue, and for 2 years he taught daily in the school of Tyrannus. And the result of that was that all of Asia Minor, modern day Turkey, heard the gospel. A whole nation changed. Now, my little bit about my background, I taught in Bible school for 4 years in St. Petersburg, Russia. So one of my favorite subjects is church history. Don't worry, I'm not going to go into that. But 500 years, the nation of Asia Minor, Turkey, modern-day Turkey, was the strongest and center of church in the world. And that started because this guy, Paul, saw an opportunity, and he saw himself in the Word, and he says, it's my aim, it's my ambition, it's my goal to preach the gospel where he is not known. What was the result of that? Everyone heard the gospel. But what was the result? He established churches. Churches came out of that. Churches filled with people. In Revelation, the last book of the New Testament, Jesus says to John, write a letter to the seven churches of Asia. These are churches that came out of the result of Paul taking advantage of this opportunity, responding to a situation because he saw his identity in the Word of God and knew what to do. But the result that came out of that, of all those people hearing about Jesus, was churches. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul writing here to Ephesus, to that city where he spent so much time. Verse 9. He said, I was chosen to explain to everyone the mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Plan. The New Living Translation says mysterious plan. In the Greek, it's a reference to a plan that had been hidden. Not hidden from, but hidden for us. What is the plan? What is this plan? Verse 10. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom. God's plan, hidden for ages, is the church. God's plan for the world is the church. The answer for every nation. It's not a preacher. It's not a message. It's a body of believers. It's a family. It's the church of Jesus Christ. Now, we're in Lebanon, and we're planting churches. February 11th, we just had our first service in Beirut. We're real excited about it. But that's what's happening in Beirut. And now it's time for me to quit. Right on time. That's what's happening in Beirut. But as I was here today praying in that pre-service time, I'm looking and I'm like, this is it. This is God's plan. You're doing it. You're God's answer, not for just this city, but for the world. He's called you. He's appointed you. It's His plan throughout all the ages to use you. You're doing it. His plan. His purpose. I can look into the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, and I can find Redemption Church right there. That's you. That's God's plan. That's your identity. Stand up with me, please. My purpose today is to encourage you that you have an identity established by God in His Word. It's not defined by what you have done. It's not even defined by what you will do. It's defined by what Jesus has done and by what God has declared. And His Word lives and abides forever. How do I become part of that? That's God's plan. I want to be part of that. I think based on that, that it would be good for all of us to take a step towards God's plan. And to surround this altar in response to the Word of God and consecrate ourselves to His purpose, His plan. And take His identity of who we are in the earth. Pastor?
Who wants to be a part of God's plan today? You want to be a part of God's plan? These altars are open right now. Why don't you come right now? If you want special prayer in this place, you come in the first 2 feet and we're going to pray with you. But everybody in this place, I challenge you to take a step from your seat. And when you are taking a step from your seat by faith, you are opening up your life to be used in God's plan. Come on, all over this place, why don't you start to ask God, Lord, use me in your plan. Use these hands. Use my skill. Use my bank account. Use my family. Use my home. Use my car. Use my voice. Use my mind. Use me. Use me. Lord, use Redemption Church, God. Use our worship team. Use our children, God. Use our young people, God. Lord, use us. Use our connect groups, God. Use us. Use our workers, Jesus. Use our Sunday school workers. Lord, use our tech team. God, use every part of us, God. Every person. Lord, God, in Jesus' name, use the pastor. Use the worshiper. Use the person that's being called into greater things. Use us all, use us all, use us all. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person that's in this room right now, Lord, that they would walk into your plan. God, you've got an appointed plan. Lord, we are your workmanship, created to do things that you have prepared in advance, God. Lord, help us to walk into the plan right now. Everybody watching online, hearing online, Lord, you are called into His plan. Why don't you spend some time asking God, help me to walk into your plan. Reveal your plan, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, I want some people to pray with that are ready to be used in His plan right now.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.